All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 43.
Wow.
Yep.
We're old.
Yep. Can you hear that music?
I can.
Know what that music is from?
I do.
Know what the name of tonight's episode is?
Do I even bother to take a guess? Or
tonight's episode is called Meatballs.
Well, golly gee.
And it has nothing whatsoever to do with anything that we're talking about tonight at all.
That's good. I like how you put the effort in there and trying to tie things into the
episode.
I don't
need to.
Like, you bash the hell out of me and Fantastic.
I don't care. And let me tell you why. After an exhaustive search for Meatballs on DVD, I finally got a copy today.
I saw him 2 weeks ago in CD World. He had like a mug of soup and a folding chair, and he was just sitting there going through the used racks.
Thumbing
like
right through.
For hours.
And if either one of you says you could have went on eBay and bought it at any time, really? Could I have gone on eBay and bought it used for $4.99 in pristine condition, I might add?
No, probably not. But after watching that with you today, or at least part of it today, we did find something a little odd in there, right?
Yeah, there's actually during the triathlon or the Olympiad. Sorry.
The Olympiad, the two-day Olympiad.
Yes, the two-day Olympiad. Some of the music is different than I remember it being.
I've heard of that.
Now,
not in this movie, but in movies and DVDs in general, I've heard of that.
They did. There's some kind of song that is either sung by Bill Murray or Rick Dees,
right,
that's being played over parts of the Olympiad, and you cannot hear the dialogue, which I've seen this movie, no lie, 17,000 times. I could quote every second of this movie to you. I could do the whole thing right now as a one-man show.
I believe you.
And the point is that when that started and that happened, I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God, now I have to find a different version. My understanding is that there is another version of this on DVD, or there may be another version
of
Meatballs.
Like an anniversary
Meatballs,
edition or
one
something.
One that costs $5.99.
I don't know. Well, at this point, I don't care what it costs, because I got to find out. I got to know. First
what
of all, and
of
I also don't know
is,
if this is in widescreen or not. That's my other issue.
You put it in and you couldn't tell?
I couldn't tell. No, because my TV automatically
adjusts. Automatically.
Yeah. So so there's that issue and this whole duplication issue, this whole song covering issue, I have to find out. My understanding is, and if you guys out there know the answer, you can write in and let us know, that there is a Meatballs 1 and 2 on one disc kind of combination thing that's floating around out there. Now, I've never seen that or heard of it. If it's true, I want it, because I want to know if they did the change for that as well.
Now, is this it sounds like it's a butchered version of the song itself, or it's been swapped out for another song?
It's been swapped out for another song, or it's been swapped out for a different part of the song that originally was in that place, because there was really very little dialogue. It's kind of, it's like meatballs, meatballs, meatballs. I mean, there's dialogue. There's like part. I remember it exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is not it, I think, is the point.
Now, in the event it was a real song that had some kind of licensing surrounding it, I would say that maybe they swapped it out because they at some point had a contract that they lost the licensing
right.
at a certain point
right.
and couldn't put it in the disc. But if it's a song that they came up for the movie,
yeah,
then I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but it really upset me a lot today. A lot.
I'm sorry.
But it kind of balanced out the fact that I finally have it, and it's pristine.
It is in really good shape for a used desk.
And not only that, but it's in one of those cardboard boxes, which tends to just crumble
away. I hate
those. But this one is absolutely crisp and clean and beautiful. So I'm very excited. So excited, in fact, that this episode, episode 43, is called Meatballs in celebration.
Well, you know, it's a party all the time here at Geek Stuff, so.
Why don't you party into the news?
Well, actually, I have a correction, and then I have an update.
Okay,
for something that we talked about last week. So let's get those out of the way.
Let's have your correction.
Good friend of the show, Starman, submitted to me a correction to your Guy Gardner, where Guy Gardner gets laid out in that 3 or 4 panel bit.
Two things about that before you make the correction. One, I know what it is because when I was editing it, I realized my mistake.
Okay.
And two, we actually, if you go to the photo gallery for episode 42, you will find all of those panels.
Oh, good.
Because I put them in there.
It was laid out in issue 3 of JLA,
yes.
Not in issue 1.
Right.
Of
that
JLA.
I realized that when I was editing it, that it was not issue 1 of the Justice League series. Right. Not JLA, it's Justice League.
Okay.
From the 80s, the mid-80s.
Right.
Yes.
The update on the JSA figures, the Atom figure?
Oh, yes, the very controversial Golden Age Atom 2-pack.
I don't know about controversy, but he is supposed to be short. Again, submitted to us by Starman. So
he's supposed to be a short dude.
He is supposed to be a shorter dude. They do mention it, apparently, in the book. It's just not integral to the story, so it's not something that they heavily
discuss. Okay, good. Thank you to our pal, Starman.
Yeah. So, did you see this week's episode of Heroes?
Yes.
I didn't, so go fuck yourself.
Wow.
And why not?
Why be down on me?
I should be down on Comcast.
Hey, just because my DVR works perfectly.
Okay, but see, I know that it's not just my DVR.
No, it's not, and I can back you up on that, too.
Apparently, there was a problem with NBC and Comcast's feed for the DVRs this past Monday. And I don't think, if you were only recording Heroes, it worked properly. But if you were recording something else, and so far, it just so happens that everybody that I've asked happened to also be recording 24 on Fox, then for some reason it did not record Heroes.
Well, I don't know, Matt. I didn't have any problems.
But you were not recording 24.
Well, that's true.
You don't watch 24.
Regrettably, I do not watch 24.
So I think it had something to do with that. Fantastic. You said you had something to back me up on this.
Well, I don't have anything related to this particular incident, but
okay.
In terms of Comcast boxes in general, especially the Silver HD box,
mm-hmm.
They suck. And I had a short conversation with the technician once who basically said that almost everyone that's out there is refurbished, has been used, has been fixed, has problems. They have overheating problems and a whole bunch of things that are just latent issues
right.
That they know about. And they just kind of factor into the cost of dealing with customers. My particular issues were that the thing in the middle of doing a recording would just reset, lose the recording, go down for, you know, a couple minutes, takes a while for it to reboot.
Reboot.
It comes back, you know, it populates the guide. Just terrible. I got a new one and I have different problems, you know, the audio skips. It just sucks.
Well, I don't know, but now, unfortunately, I have to wait for tomorrow, Thursday, when they release the episode on iTunes, so I can download it and then watch it that way.
Well, here's what happened in the episode.
I don't want to know, you bastard. And while I'm being angry, because it doesn't happen often, so I have to let it all out now, I just wanted to say 2 months after the Wii has been released, it's probably been about 2 months, right? Fuck Nintendo. That's all I'm saying, because I can't find one.
He hasn't taken my advice.
I'm not.
You get up at 5:30, you drive into the city, you go to Nintendo World and Rockefeller Center, you stand outside the door, you get on the line, and you get one.
I know, but I have to work.
Well,
not at 5:30.
Not if you want to play the Wii.
I have to be at work by like 7:30. There's no way I'll make it back.
What time is the store open?
I don't know. I think it opens at like 8.
Exactly. Yeah, so I have to take like a day off, call in sick.
Well, then you will be without.
Well, anyway, we can move away and we'll get into the news.
Well, I think I'm going to move right into the news then, since this news has been so exciting so far.
Sure.
I'm going to move right into Marvel news.
Oh, boy.
Yes, Marvel news. Ooh-da-lolly. Well, as we all know, we've been following the crazy misadventures of the Marvel Universe, at least one of them, in the book entitled Civil War.
Right.
Which pits the heroes against each other because of the Superhuman Registration Act, You know, I liked it better. Like I always say, I liked it better 8 years ago or whatever it was when it was right. the Mutant Registration Act. But anyway, you have some guys who are for this, led by Iron Man, some guys against it, who are led by Captain America. And it's all kind of coming to a head.
Okay.
Except we're going to have to wait even longer for that head to get here.
Why is that?
Because now for the, what, second or third time, Civil War 7 has been pushed back. It is the third time. Civil War number 7 has been pushed back and is now tentative to be released on February the 21st.
Unbelievable.
The next issue of Civil War won't be seen until almost the end of February.
That's crazy.
The reason is because it had 28 pages of content, which is more than a Marvel book is allowed to have because you have to have room for the 35 pages of ads. And that being said, they, according to Marvel, they wanted to give Steve McNiven, who's the artist, a little more time to get it done.
Sounds like it's overdone, doesn't it?
Well, I think issue 7 is the one where everybody ends up fighting everybody, because the end of issue 6 would seem to indicate that.
Ah, so 7's the big brouhaha.
Right. So this, of course, also revises the rest of the Civil War schedule as well. So you have all the books that are tied to Civil War have to be adjusted because of, you know, there'll be events in issue 7 that will affect other books that right. are to come out afterwards. Right. But
we
now,
talked about this before.
Right. Well, this is happening again.
Unbelievable.
And I just wanted to point it out. So if you're a fan, there you go. Write your local Marvel editor-in-chief. His name is Joe Quesada. And let him know how pleased you are with yet another delay in this series.
I don't know. I'm going to stay away from Marvel because I don't want to get into it. But what I do want to note...
Are you saving it for the toy segment?
Yeah, exactly. What I do want to note is that Steve Carell will be playing in Get Smart.
Really?
The new Get Smart film that they're putting out there. I thought that was a good casting choice, actually, for that role.
Well, I'm looking more and more forward to this movie. As we may or may not have mentioned, Anne Hathaway will be playing Agent 99.
Yeah.
And Dwayne The Rock Johnson
Ooh.
Apparently will be playing Agent 23. I don't know exactly where that falls into the scheme of things.
Speaking of him, The Rock... What happened to Spy Hunter?
It's still on the schedule as far as I know.
Is it still on the
I think it's a summer flick.
So it's yet to come out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't come out yet.
I saw over in GameSpot the other day the Spy Hunter 2 video game that has Dwayne The Rock Johnson on the cover, and I got to thinking that I don't ever remember the movie
coming out. No, it definitely didn't come out yet. So it's probably a spring or a summer release.
Oh, so it's coming this year probably then.
I guess so.
All right. Well, there's also new rumors out there surrounding Spider-Man 4. Again, Spider-Man 4 now shadowing any news and updates we have on Spider-Man 3, it would seem.
Because let's be honest, we all know exactly what Spider-Man 3 is about, who's in it, what they look like, what's going to happen.
And I'm pretty jazzed about it. But there are rumors out there that David, and I still can't pronounce this guy's last name, Kep, I believe it is,
That's a
potentially
weird name.
Will be writing.
K-O-E-P-P, right?
Yeah, K-O-E-P-P, yeah. Will potentially be writing the script. For Spidey 4. He wrote War of the Worlds, Jurassic Park, Panic Room, I think Jurassic Park 2, the first Mission Impossible. He has some credits
clout.
Under his
some
belt.
Clout.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see if it happens. I really still don't give a shit about 4 because I need to get through 3 first. So.
All right. And we'll need this.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face.
You've got to believe me, officer. He is coming to Haddonfield.
Of course, it's time for our Rob Zombie Halloween remake news of the week.
Who'd have guessed there would have been this much crap? About this movie. News about this movie.
And I am, like I said, my point here is that I'm just dying that all these Halloween fans just hate everything about this movie. And speaking of which,
right.
Rob Zombie, it is rumored, is going to be reworking the script of Halloween based on all the negative feedback from the leak that appeared online recently
yep.
about the story. So there you go. The internet's affecting Rob Zombie's Halloween remake, and who could blame him? I mean, that really serious flatback from it was, wow, this is awful.
Yeah, well, Halloween again, much like these comic book movies that we kind of really focus on around here, Halloween really has a very loyal fan base, a very dedicated fan base. And to remake it and do such drastic plot changes, character changes, stuff like that, to those fans, it's a big no-no. I mean, you almost have to listen to what they're going to say because they're what's going to make or break you at the box office.
Right.
You know, they're the repeat viewers. They are the DVD sales.
Right.
In a lot of aspects. So you have to almost at least listen and consider what it is they say and what their opinions are.
Very true. And I feel bad because it seemed like he knew exactly what he wanted to do, and now he's faced with, I'm going to have to rework it.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't care. He's going to put some good-looking gals in it.
Right.
And that fine young man, Tyler Mane, as Michael Myers. I mean, and Malcolm McDowell as Dr. Loomis.
Right.
I mean, that can't be, you know, that can't be a bad thing right from the get-go.
You know, I just want to say, I think Paco is aiming to become the new producer of this show because I just got an update from the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive.
Oh, really?
About Spy Hunter. It's as though he heard me calling through the pipes down to the archive. Movie has been indefinitely put on hold.
Damn it.
Really?
Yeah, damn it. So, I was waiting for it.
Wow.
So I don't know what that means for it, but okay. I was actually kind of waiting for it too. I wanted to see how they were going to take it. So
no, I wasn't. I was.
I was, but we'll see. I'll look into it a little bit more between now and next week, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I'm going to move on into some Pirates news. WizKids Pirates collectible constructible strategy mm-hmm. game, they call it. It's one of our favorites.
It is.
It really is. And we're very excited to hear any news about what might be going on with Pirates, but I have to say I'm a little disturbed about what's going on right now.
Okay.
Right now, we are coming into, we're coming off of Davy Jones, and right before they could even fill all the orders on Davy Jones, we had Pirates of Mysterious Islands
right.
come out, right?
Good set, too.
Now, before you could even get close to getting everything you want out of Pirates of Mysterious Islands, Pirates of the Frozen North is due to hit us in February.
You know what? I was just going to make a real scary correlation here. And now that you've said Frozen North, it's even a little bit more frightening. This is exactly what happened to Magic the Gathering. Magic was doing really great. Its expansions were really solid, really strong. Then they put out this expansion called Fallen Empires. It sucked.
Oh, it was awful.
The packages, they wouldn't sell. I mean, you were buying cases of them for like $20 a throw, and it was only good if you were an artifact player, right?
Yeah.
They tried to really relaunch Magic with Ice Age,
right?
Which would be the equivalent to this Frozen North set here, is the correlation that I'm drawing.
Well, that's not really the news.
But
here.
They're choking, I would think.
I know. And speaking of choking, the worst thing to do when someone is choking would be to
put more food in your mouth.
Right. And that food is called Pirates at Ocean's Edge.
Oh, well, I wonder where that name came from.
That's an odd name. That's coming presumably sometime in April, we think.
So when the hell is Frozen North coming then?
February.
Jesus.
So, and then we get Pirates at Ocean's Edge. It's going to feature more monsters and something they're calling Mega Packs.
Okay.
Which, if you know the game at all, you know that there's a humongous ship called a Junk.
Right.
From South China Seas. So, if you can imagine a pack of cards that big.
Wow.
That's how big these creatures are going to be. I've seen two already. It's okay. A giant shark. I mean, a giant shark.
Right.
And this big crab they're calling a titan. It's a humongous crab. And just to give a quick breakdown of what's going to come out, you're going to have your regular booster packs, which are going to feature either two ships or one ship and one regular-sized monster.
Right.
A whirlpool/island card, so some kind of whirlpool is coming into
play.
Oh,
I like that, though.
Yeah. One crew or treasure card. You're going to get value packs, which
okay.
are kind of the boxes that
right.
they started with Davy Jones. six ships or creature mix.
Right.
Three crew or treasure cards and one pre-assembled ship, you know, in the window of the box. They're also going to do tins again, even though somehow we missed out on the first tins. Apparently they did tins before and somehow we missed out on those. I don't know what happened there. They're going to have some South China Seas specials inside them.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird. I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe there's some kind of South China Seas kind of special thing if you buy the tin. Now, why South China Sea, I don't know, but that's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
And it will also include four Ocean's Edge packs.
Okay.
Right? Which is a good deal, and the tins are nice, and you can keep stuff in them, and I really like the tins, except I don't have them. And finally, the Mega Packs, which will be the giant size beasts cards.
Okay.
And some more sort of, they're saying exciting ships. I don't know exactly what that's going to mean, but there you have it.
Huh.
You can go to piratescardgame.com to check out more information on what we're talking about. I don't know. I haven't been there yet, so I don't know if they have pictures of these. But
for a game that almost died right after Crimson Coast came out, I mean, they were talking about canceling the game. It was done. Now we're like five expansions past that at this point. I don't know it.
I don't. You know what? I don't care. I want every one of them.
I know. You know what? I like them. I like them. I like the game. I'm just afraid that they're going to kill themselves with too much on the market.
Well,
because they're retiring sets too quickly. The collectability is getting hurt because you don't have time to collect one full set before the next set comes out.
Right.
And it's not like the old days where you can go to a convention and you can find a guy with a table that had binders and binders and binders of cards. I go to conventions dozens of times, you know, a couple dozen times in a year, whatever it is we go. Nobody sells these things loose like that.
Right.
You find a couple on eBay here and there's one or two websites that sell them
right.
at ridiculous prices. But I'm afraid for the collectability of the product.
I'm afraid also. And I think it would be a real shame, especially since it's a really great property. Pirates are very vogue now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like, I don't know. I hope maybe they'll have some answers for us.
I hope so.
At Toy Fair. I'm hoping that they just speak to us at Toy Fair.
That would be nice.
I don't know why returning a phone call is such a big deal, or an email, or a fax, or a phone call.
Hey, look, there are other people who have returned phone calls and given us, you know, their good graces in some small capacity or another.
I know.
And WizKids, who we love.
Who we not only love, but we've been promoting the product and love the product for so long. I mean, I actually got this bit of information today talking about Pirates at Ocean's Edge from the previews catalog.
Oh God,
Diamond previews catalog.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we should have known about this before the Diamond previews catalog.
Yeah, really, say. Certainly.
But anyway, well, I hope they straighten out their act.
I hope so too, and I hope Brian Singer straightens out his act before he considers doing Superman 2.
Like not considering doing Superman 2?
That would be my opinion. Now I know that me and you are in the minority when it comes to that film. Because I would say out of every five people I talk to about Superman Returns, four of them say they loved it. They thought it was great. They loved what Bryan Singer did. They loved Brendan Routh. They loved Kevin Spacey. Nobody liked Lois Lane, so that's good. I'm glad that that's, you know, steady across the board. But Kevin Spacey, in an appearance on Letterman, said that he is eager to get back into doing the role of Lex Luthor. He will be in Superman 2, and it is slated for a potential 2009 release.
Yippee.
So, I don't know. Bryan Singer's got to do some magic to make it, in my opinion, to make it worthwhile. I mean, I guess the people who already liked Superman Returns, not going to be an issue for them.
More comic news.
Okay.
Arcana Studios Press.
Yes.
Arcana Studios Press has released Mouse Guard Issue 6, which is the end of the Return of Honor story arc.
Ah.
So that's the last issue in their first arc, and they have announced that they will be trading all of them. If you have not gotten a chance to read this wonderful book by David Peterson, you really ought to.
I'm excited that there's that a trade's coming because I missed the first couple of issues of the book, but I really wanted to get into it. You know, the trade will really give me that opportunity.
And I have to say, for a little book about mice with swords and it really is just fantastic. And I'm very excited that apparently there's going to be more. There's going to be a trade and something else.
Diamond Select has announced that they have picked up a Mouse Guard license. Very vague about what it's going to contain. Pretty much I haven't seen anything at all. But they have said that we will see and hear more at Toy Fair, which is 2.5-3 weeks away at this point.
Right.
So we should have updates on that very shortly.
That is very exciting. I want every piece of it.
I want to read the book, although I'm pretty positive I'm going to like it.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Well, you read the first issue, right?
Yeah, yeah. I read your copy of it.
It just goes on from there. And apparently, this is the first story arc. There's going to be other story arcs as well, so that's very exciting.
I have one more thing that I wanted to throw out there. Firefly, the visual companion, number 2, May of 2007.
Nice.
So keep your eye out for it.
Okay, will do. Should we tease? No. We probably shouldn't tease about that other thing we're doing.
No. That has to stay on the between the three of us for right now.
I think that's going to be very exciting.
Well, it potentially could be very exciting. I am ecstatic at the prospect of it, but sadly, we cannot say anything just yet.
Okay, but that's very exciting. We also want to say while we're here right now that we did intend to talk about Big Kev's action figure Chop Shop today. We're actually going to delay that discussion and the start of that until next episode.
Oh, okay.
So just because there's just a few more things I'm working out.
Okay.
A few more people I'm bringing aboard, and then we're gonna work it out.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that next week as well. You got something fantastic?
I'm sad to report that the wrestling world in the past week has lost yet another of its brothers.
Oh, no.
In that Bam Bam Bigelow was found dead in his house. Causes of death unknown. Speculated that he was fighting an infection.
Oh, really?
But he's gone.
Wasn't he the Beast from Asbury Park or something? Wasn't that his name?
The Beast from the East. And yeah, he had another Asbury. Greetings from Asbury Park was his move.
Oh, it was his move, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he was a local boy.
I really liked Bam Bam.
So did I. He's one of those classic guys I loved.
Boy, I sure hope that he was not slated to be anywhere in 2 weeks.
You know what? I was thinking the same thing about 30 seconds ago, and I was like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But I was really thinking that.
I'm just going to say that.
Eek.
That's really awful. I really like Bam Bam a lot. He has a... He has a classics
yes, he does.
Superstar figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame. Well, you're looking at it probably right now. There it is, Bam Bam Bigelow. And we're sorry to hear about that. Thanks for bringing us in on that. Fantastic. We have to get the Bad Mother Canucker in here sooner than later and let him talk about
it. Maybe we'll try to bring him in next week for a short segment.
See if he's available.
That's going to be it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some product updates and some news. And that's about it.
Should we announce next week that we're going to be doing a film review?
No.
Why not?
We're doing a film. Oh, we are doing a film review next week.
We are doing a film review.
Nah, we'll tease that later.
Okay. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios. Let's say it was the moon dust shining down from heaven.
heaven. To fall na, 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 you know, you haven't sung for us in a long time. I kind of missed it a little.
That song, of course, featured in the motion picture Meatballs.
Of course.
And we're back with episode 43, Meatballs.
And
I'm going to mention again, Meatballs on DVD. Finally found it.
You did finally find it.
This is a great day.
It is a great day. What do we have?
We just real quickly, we have a couple of products that we would just want to touch on very quickly. We don't want to spend an enormous amount of time.
A copious amount of time?
I don't think we really need to.
No, I don't think
there's
so.
There's a pair of Star Wars box sets that have come out. This is a new thing that's happening here. Mm-hmm. Is Hasbro is doing exclusive box sets that contain several figures. I have 7 in mine. How many are in yours?
2, 4, 7.
7. So, box sets containing 7 figures. There's 2 of them out currently. I have one I'm very excited about, the Republic Commando Delta Squad.
Ooh, well, of course you're excited about that.
Of course.
Builder you.
And it comes with 4 Republic Commandos, each of whom have an identity. This would be from the expanded universe because they actually come from the game Republic Commando.
Right.
So it contains the 4 Republic Commandos are Delta 38, Scorch, Fixer, and Sev.
Okay.
Now, they're all individual characters, of course. The flavor text on the back will tell you something about them. Scorch, however, has already been featured in a single pack version. An awesome design character. All the Republic Commandos, very awesome design. Fantastic. Do you know a little something about the game Republic Commandos?
Yeah, it was a first-person shooter for Xbox, kind of a four members of the squad, mm-hmm. Squad-based tactics where you can take over, but you can also give orders. It's a pretty good game, generally pretty well-reviewed.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to play, too. I had a good time playing it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad to see that that they're producing some of this expanded universe stuff from the video games into like the regular line of figures here. Although I have to be honest, let's be honest, if it was some, ridiculous characters from that game who are not Republic Commandos, perhaps I wouldn't be as excited as I am.
Right.
But these are great. And it also comes with Sun Fak, who's the commander of the Genosian forces, and 2 Genosian warriors. And I think all 3 of those figures are exclusive to this pack.
Okay.
So, 7 exclusive figures here. And runs about $35 retail, and it's a nice package. I mean, it really is a nice. If you are an Imperial Army collector, army builder such as myself, you're gonna want to get one of these for yourself. That's for damn sure.
Sure,
sure. It has those lousy Genosians in it, but it's a price you pay for 4 really superior looking commandos.
Well, the set I have here in front of me is the Death Star briefing. Like we said before, 7 figures inside.
Right.
These figures include Darth Vader, the Grand Moff himself, Tarkin, Admiral Mahdi, General, is it Tage?
Tag?
Tag.
I say Tag.
Chief Bast, Officer Cass, and Colonel Wolf Ullerin. Again, great little set. If you're into the Imperials, definitely a must-have. I think
everybody remembers what this is here. This is the scene in Star Wars where they're around the table discussing the Death Star.
Right.
And that it's the ultimate power in the universe. You remember that one guy's line? This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Very gay. He's in there.
Yeah, that was...
Is that the one he chokes? That is the one he chokes.
Yeah, that's Mahdi.
That's Mahdi, yeah. Mahdi, of course, as well as Vader and Tarkin, have been featured in single packs.
Correct.
But the other 4 gentlemen, I don't believe, have been.
Although I believe that these sculpts, at least on Mahdi and Tarkin, although I can't be sure, they look like they might be new head sculpts at the very least.
Oh, really?
So that's interesting. But again, it's a great little set. Definitely if you're an Imperial builder, definitely if you're a Star Wars collector. You have to grab these.
Yeah, and the difference in the sets here, the the set, the Death Star set, they actually have it set up kind of like that they're at the table.
Right.
Kind of. And the packaging is very nice on the inside. Obviously, generic outside packaging, Saga collection packaging on the outside. There's not really much of that sort of thing. I mean, it looks like there's some sort of graphics at the back of the Republic Commando Delta Squad pack, but nothing I can really make out distinctly.
Well, while we're on Star Wars, again, from our friend Starman, he's like the MVP of this episode.
It is.
He
should rename it Starman.
Exactly.
Except I didn't find Starman on DVD because I wasn't looking, because fuck Jeff Bridges and fuck that movie, because that movie was stupid.
Okay, wow. So Target is getting another three Star Wars exclusives. It's 3 2-packs. Order 66 is the name of the 2-packs.
Oh, is that what they're called?
For those of you not familiar,
and
Order
66. These are Target exclusives.
They are Target exclusives.
Okay, what do they got in them?
Well, I was going to explain Order 66, but that's okay. That's your issue.
That's true. We shouldn't assume that everyone knows. Order 66 is the order that was programmed into all the clones that when given by the Emperor, they were to turn and on their kill all Jedis around you, I guess, is Order 66.
It also means that Jedi would then lose the ability to deflect all blaster bolts and just get shot in the back and not even know that they're being attacked from behind.
Well, you know, they have to, like, know that someone's shooting behind them.
Actually, I think what it means is that the shooting skills in general just swap places. Suddenly the stormtroopers, or the clone troopers in this case, can hit anything, and the Jedi's just limp-wristed, lightsabers on the ground, dead.
That is a very good summary.
Anyway, that being said about the Jedi, each two-pack contains one Jedi and then one trooper.
Okay.
So we have... we have the Galactic Marine, which is a new sculpt for that figure, and Mace Windu.
Okay.
We have...
it's a new sculpt other than the single one that they already put out?
Yeah. Apparently, it's a new sculpt.
Or supposedly, that's... Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Okay.
The second one is...
I have to buy six of those.
Exactly. AT-RT driver. Again, that's a repaint, and that would be with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay.
And then the Airborne Trooper, member of the 501st. 501st, yeah.
501st?
Comes with Anakin.
Vader's Legion, of course, it comes with Anakin. So. Well, that's exciting. Two packs these are.
Oh, and also, the packaging on these is different than traditional Star Wars figures in this scale. They've kind of taken that Unleashed round tubular packaging that they've been doing for the new Unleashed figures, shrunk it down to squatty, and that's their kind of, they're kind of like round and tubular a little bit. Yeah, it's interesting.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Well, I'm sure right now you're checking out pictures of these fine products online. And, of course, as an army builder, I have to say that I'm looking very forward to them.
Yup.
I want to know why it is that Galactic Marine hasn't been put out yet. I thought for sure that thing was supposed to come out already.
That I don't know.
I'm going to have to call Toy Mike.
Yes.
Toy Mike is going to have to provide me with answers.
And I'm sure he will. He's a good guy like that.
He is. It's true.
Moving away from Star Wars and onto Sideshow. One of our other favorite companies here on Geek Stuff. We have 2 12-inch figures from Angel that we wanted to bring up real quick.
Yes.
I have Lorne, the host. For those of you familiar with Angel, you would know who he was. He's the gentleman that owns the nightclub that the demons in LA frequent. It's kind of like a safe haven. They can't fight there and yada yada. He's you know, he wears like the leisure suit. He's actually a really good character, really funny on the show. This is a Sideshow exclusive, this piece. It's a U.S. exclusive, although I still haven't been able to figure out what that means exactly. You know, he comes with the typical Sideshow accessories. You know, he comes with a microphone. He comes with a couple of bottles of alcohol, I guess, representing the club that he works in. And I'm not... Is that some sort of fruity drink? Some sort of red fruity drink. He comes in his typical outfit from the show, the yellow suit, you know, with the little red kerchief around his neck. Great figure from Sideshow. Glad to see that they actually spun off and did Angel, because Angel definitely had a unique character base set aside from Buffy. Although some of the characters obviously did overlap, but they definitely had some very unique new characters. And it's great to see him represented by Sideshow, the Masters.
I have Cordelia.
Ooh, Cordelia Chase.
She has been a character in the Buffyverse for, what, since the beginning, right?
She was in the beginning of Buffy, and then I guess it was around season 3 or 4, whenever Angel started. I think it was 3 or 4. She jumped over to Angel.
She jetted off to be on the Angel show. She's great. 12-inch figure. Great likeness. I have met Charisma Carpenter.
Ooh.
And I can tell you that the likeness is very good.
She's a lovely lady.
She comes with a katana and some swappy out hands, the usual base, and a Sunnydale High School diploma.
Aw, good for her.
Which is framed.
She graduated.
Suitable for hanging in whatever 12-inch sort of diorama you have set up for these characters.
Right. You know, I just wanted to quickly mention the packaging on these figures. They have stuck with that, with the traditional 12-inch packaging that Sideshow started way back when they started the 12-inch.
Window box packaging.
Right.
With the flap that opens and is held closed with Velcro.
Right. And as much as I like some of the new packaging that they've come up with for some of the other lines, I'm glad that they've decided to stick with the traditional packaging for this. Because if you are a collector who chooses to keep your stuff packaging, you maintain some sort of uniformity that way. Because that, you know, they're all the same size, they're all in the same style box. Keeping them displayed that way would still be very nice.
You could put them on a shelf, kind of like a library.
Yeah.
And you could take it down and you could have a look and
sure
put it back, I guess. I don't know.
I want to stray away from these just a little bit.
Okay.
But sticking with Sideshow.
This is the reason you brought these, isn't it?
You're damn right. Don't get me wrong, I love these. I have every single one except for Faith, that fucking Faith. Can't believe I still don't have that. But anyway, I have all of them except for her. It's a great line. Sideshow does a terrific job. The Buffyverse, the Angelverse, dead, long dead, bit off the air for years now, right?
Right.
Joss Whedon property.
Joss Whedon?
Yeah, Joss. Whatever. Joss. Josh. Whatever. No, Joss.
J-O-S-S,
which I found out is Chinese for lucky, I think it was. He changed his name. Anyway. Why haven't they picked up a Firefly license or a Serenity license or something else?
I have the answer for that.
What is that answer?
I don't know.
Okay. That's not a good answer. Because we know that they would sell. We know there's no doubt in my mind that they would be that it would be a great, great license for them to have.
Absolutely. I think.
Why do you think?
Well, let's see. I think that we're in a weird time right now with Serenity. So without and Firefly, without going into a long-winded explanation about it, I agree with you in principle.
Okay.
However, Diamond Select will tell you that the Firefly toys did not sell well. Now, that being said, they did it in the way that they normally do things. They picked two characters and did them 4 or 5 different ways.
Exactly.
And rather than doing kind of a core group of characters. So I didn't agree with that. I thought they were great toys. They were great looking toys. The packaging was excellent. The Reaver was excellent. The Reaver variant was excellent. I mean, everything was nice about the stuff. And I guess they just felt like since the show had been canceled that it wasn't worth kind of going on with.
Right.
So the Firefly toys, although you never see one.
Right.
You never see one in a nickel bin or anything. You never see them. No, I go to every toy show on the East Coast, and I have never seen one for sale at a show. Okay, that being said, Dark Horse is now coming out with a series of products based on Firefly and Serenity.
And they've been selling very well.
They've been selling very well, including the ornament of Serenity, the ship.
And its variant.
And now a variant coming out. They have a PVC set. Mm-hmm. They did the usual. They did a lighter.
Right.
I mean, they've done their usual set of things that they do with the claim that more is coming.
Right.
Now, that being said, and the fact that those pieces have been selling out and very popular kind of lends, again, to the credibility of Sideshow picking up a license like this. And I say the other positive point about that is Sideshow is a company that does things that are limited.
Right.
So if you put out a Mal figure and he was limited to 2,000 pieces, I'm quite sure that those 2,000 pieces would sell.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's going to be a very iffy situation depending on what's going on with the fandom at that time.
But now seems like the perfect time. Aside from the fact that aside from the fact that you have Dark Horse putting out all this product, right, and it's doing very well, you also have the visual companions coming out that are selling very well.
Right.
The RPG had its first expansion earlier in 2006 that did very well. Out to the Black did very, very well.
Okay.
Right. So you have all that. You have the new company, QMX, who is releasing a replica of Mal's pistol, did a replica pack of Money from the Verse.
Right.
Right. Which is almost sold out. The limited editions are almost sold out, and then they go into a regular edition.
Right.
So they have to go into a regular edition, that point being. And then later this year, they're putting out a full set of blueprints for Serenity. All the shuttles, the entire ship, head to toe, limited to however many 1,000 pieces or whatever, 500 pieces, whatever it is. And no doubt that that will sell out. So with all of this other product developing, and with the fan base probably as strong as it's been, doesn't it seem like now's the time?
I totally agree, and we're going to Toy Fair in 2 weeks.
I'm gonna say it.
I'm hoping we march in there, and I hope that they have some sort of. I hope anybody has some sort of Firefly Serenity surprise for
well,
us.
Well, I hope
but
so
I
too.
But I have to tell you, not holding my breath.
No, I'm not holding my breath either. But what I'm saying is, for a show that has been canceled, there's definitely a viable audience. There's definitely a viable fan base. Sideshow, picking up licenses. Odd little licenses that really cater to niche markets. I mean, Sideshow is putting out a Tremors piece.
Right.
Okay. If that's not niche, I don't know what is.
Right.
Firefly, Def, or Serenity, I guess, depending on where you're going to get the licensing rights from.
Right.
Definitely seems like a viable product line to me.
Okay, then let's pitch it out to Sideshow. We would like you to pick up a Serenity Firefly license and do 12-inch figures.
Certainly.
And quarter scale.
Oh my God.
Pieces as well.
I'd cry.
I think I would cry because they would be really good.
All right.
Cry with happiness.
Exactly.
Cry like when you know you like lose your virginity.
Oh, I was gonna say cry like when Wash died.
Not like when.
Oh no, yeah, happiness, right? Not sadness.
Not like when, I didn't cry when I lost mine.
Okay. I think we need to take a small break.
Okay.
I need a drink. Preferably like a shot of whiskey or something.
You want to go cry, don't you?
I do, a little bit. And we're going to come back with a big, big product review. And some people are going to be happy, and some people are not.
Some people aren't going to be happy, and some people aren't going to be happy.
Let's just hope they can't cancel those appointments.
Why would they? This is not them.
I know.
And they haven't done anything yet.
I know.
And just we're saying. Just being honest.
Exactly.
Just saying. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots. But they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow. With
why,
your
aren't
little...
you, why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when
you,
it's updated and when the website
is. Have an
is.
Opinion.
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Inhislikeness.com. If you let me, I could be your good friend. I know that if you let me, we could walk together. And we're back.
We are indeed.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 43. And that's another song featured from the soundtrack of the motion picture Meatballs.
It is.
I'd just like to give out a little bit more Meatballs information if I could, Matt. Meatballs came out in 1979. Mm-hmm. It starred Bill Murray and was written by many people, including Harold Ramis. So and directed by Ivan Reitman. So you have a lot of famous people. Ivan Reitman and Harold Ramis, of course, also worked on Animal House. That was their project,
right?
And Ivan Reitman, Harold Ramis, and Bill Murray also on Ghostbusters.
Yes,
if I'm not mistaken. And it also starred a child actor, Chris Makepeace, who was also featured in the film My Bodyguard, which featured Adam Baldwin, who was in Firefly and Serenity.
There you go. Can we make peace and move on to what we have here in front of us?
Okay, fine. Just saying. I got it on DVD.
I'm very happy for you.
Well, it was inevitable.
Well, yeah.
Marvel Legends.
Ooh!
Series 1.
Oh, wait.
It's Series 1 from Hasbro.
Right, here, Series 1 from Hasbro.
They are calling it the Annihilus series.
Right.
Because the Build-A-Figure is Annihilus.
Yes. We'll get to him later.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start, at the top.
Are we going alphabetical?
Sure.
All right, because I go first, I think, then, right?
You do, and then I think I go second.
So. A, Annihilus.
No.
A also happens to be for awful. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm not making any correlations.
Come on.
Okay, so... A line of six pieces. You put the pieces that you get together, as we know at this point, build a figure, you build Annihilus.
Right.
The first piece on the hit parade today would be Banshee.
Ooh, Banshee.
A perennial X-Men character for years and years.
Right. Well-deserving of a figure.
Well-deserving of a figure. This is true. The last figure, Banshee figure that came out, actually came out in a Toy Biz box set.
Mm-hmm.
Of the new X-Men,
right,
which featured him and all the characters from Giant Size Number One, basically the new characters,
right?
Him, Colossus, Nightcrawler, I think was in, probably a Wolverine in there. That Banshee was pretty good.
Okay.
But this Banshee, however, not so good.
Okay.
I think he's small. His body is really small. I mean, it doesn't look... The scale seems off to me on this figure.
Okay.
And I say that because the body looks small and the head looks humongous.
Okay. Now, I looked at him. And I looked at him pretty closely in the packaging the other day. I don't really think that head is that bad. I think it kind of looks bigger than it actually is. Because he's doing that scream face.
Yeah,
and it looks a little elongated.
Right.
But I don't really think it's that big for the body. I don't.
Well, then maybe I think the body is too... I don't know. Something about this figure bugs me. I think it's the head. Maybe it's the combination the head and neck.
I don't think that the head sculpt on it is the greatest sculpt possible. But I don't think that it's out of scale. I think maybe the sculpt, leaves a little to be said, but I don't think that it's out of scale.
Well, I don't. Then I think you and I will have to agree to disagree.
Well, that's fine.
About this piece. He's not bad. Obviously, the costume is well rendered. He has the cloth underwings.
Right.
That are famous for his costume. It's just sort of eh. It seems to me like they could have done a better job. I mean, that's all I'm going to really say about that.
Okay. And he comes with the wing. Is that correct?
He comes with a wing.
Okay.
Yes.
So I am
for
next.
Annihilus. Are you next?
Yes, with the Beast.
Yeah, you're right.
He does start with B, right?
No, technically, it looks like to me he starts with X3.
Okay, you can go next if you really want to.
No, that's fine. You go ahead with your Beast.
All right, so what I have here is the X3 Beast, the Kelsey Grammer of Beasts. Now, this one, I think that there's a problem with the head.
Okay.
I really like the figure. I like the head sculpt on the figure. I actually really want this figure. I was a fan of the Beast in the film. I am a fan of the Beast in general. He's probably one of my favorite X-Men next to Nightcrawler. Although I hated the fact that they got rid of Nightcrawler to put the Beast in. you'll swap the blues. But the head does look a little tiny on this one. This one, I think that the head might be just a little tiny. Either that or the chest is just a little big. It's,
right.
It's one or the other. But all in all, not a bad figure.
He's wearing the costume from X3.
Right. He's got the jacket, you know, the black jacket with the yellow X logo and the pants.
And this is their attempt, the guys who are overseeing this, to give us X3 figures without giving us X3 figures.
Right.
And you'll hear more about that when we talk about Waves 2 and 3 and some of the rumors for other things down the line. I think it's a very good idea, but at the same time, again, it harkens back to bugging me about what qualifies as a legend.
Yes, but I agree, and that's going to come up, I think.
That's going to come up right there.
Yeah, that's going to come up in a little bit. But all in all, I think this is a pretty solid figure. It is definitely the one from the line that I want, and it comes with the arm and leg of Annihilus.
One arm, one leg.
One arm, one leg.
Okay.
We have an arm, a leg, and a wing.
Right. You're next again.
Am I?
Yeah.
How is that so? I have Hercules. You have Emma Frost. Believe that E comes before H.
Well, I was going to say White Queen, but she is down here as Emma Frost. Emma Frost is the next character in our lineup here.
Wow.
What can I say?
She's
terrible.
She
is the worst one in the line.
Yeah.
What makes her the worst is that Diamond Select, who is a company that does the Marvel Select action figures, Diamond Select did a White Queen figure that, without hyperbole, blows this one to smithereens.
I mean, that was, first of all, it was a great, great looking figure. Second of all, it was one of those figures, much like you would see DC Direct figures, that was very closely based on one artist's rendition. That would be Greg Horn, who did the Emma Frost White Queen miniseries, I believe. And it looked amazingly like the White Queen. It was a great figure.
It was. And to see them go ahead and do this figure like this, we should say, she is ungodly thin.
Yeah, she is emaciated. She is like Olsen twin thin.
Right. And you know what? It's not even, I mean, I wish it was funny, but it's just not that funny, because I know that the character is always portrayed as being this ultimate super hot, well, ultimate's probably not the right word, but this super hot blonde woman, very buxom. But you know what? She's really kind of like filled out beautiful. She's not like a stick, and she's not a teenager.
No.
This figure looks like an emaciated teenager. She doesn't even have, like, honestly, let's be honest, White Queen has big, big boobs.
And this figure does
not. And this figure does not have big boobs. Look at that, fantastic. She does not have big boobs.
No.
And the White Queen, this would be like doing Power Girl in DC with small boobs. This character, this figure needs Power Girl's boobs from that figure that we talked about a few weeks ago. Her face is drawn.
It's gone.
It's drawn, and her lips are puckered. She looks like, and she's pale, and her lips are pale. I don't know. I mean, they've done her lips in sort of that bluish white kind of color.
Right.
Which is fine, I guess. I mean, I don't recall her lips being blue.
Yeah, well, I think her lips being blue is kind of one of the whole, it's kind of the one part about her that always kind of harkens back to her diamond form.
Yet in the packaging, they show several, well, we should really discuss the packaging, but before we jump into that, we'll do that at the mid-break.
Yeah.
They have pictures of her on here, and one of them has those bluish lips, but the other pictures all have her with pink or red lips.
Right.
And the fact that those lips are puckering makes her face look even thinner, like it's more drawn.
Right.
Her arms are thin. Her legs are thin. She's kind of whitish at the hips. I'm not saying, you know, we're not saying that things need to be perfect or anything, but this character does not look like this.
No.
This is an anorexic teenage girl.
It is. It's an Olsen twin.
It really is just bizarre.
The one thing that looks like it might be in scale for this figure is the cape that she has on.
Yeah.
It looks like if perhaps she was a little bit larger in the area she needed to be larger in,
yeah, exactly,
that cape would fit right.
Yeah. You almost want to take that cape and see if it fits on the other
fits
figure.
Fits on the other.
I mean, it probably does. It
probably.
Right. So without laboring the point, she comes with an arm and leg of a Nihilus.
Right.
She's not that good a figure.
No.
And I think it's a shame that this character has been done this way. And I hope to God that this is not the standard by which other female characters are going to be done as we move forward, because there's a lot of them coming.
Well, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think with the exception of the Sue Storm figure from the Fantastic Four box set, most of the female characters that have come out in the Legends line, I have not been that thrilled with. No, I lie. I like the Wasp figures, the variants.
Yeah.
But like Elektra and Rogue.
Elektra was pretty bad.
I don't think Rogue was that great either.
Rogue was a box set character as well.
As well. But so that
you know
being
what it was?
Said, we'll
it was
say.
That joint. It was yeah. that neck joint that they tried to use a couple of times.
Yeah, it just wasn't working.
Yeah, it really made it look awful.
I have the next two figures alphabetically.
Okay.
I have Hercules.
Ooh. Now, we should say this right off the bat. Hercules, a legend.
Yes. And
a legendary Marvel character deserving of an action figure of this quality.
And the best figure in this wave.
In this wave, and probably one of the best figures in the line.
I don't have a single complaint about this figure.
What's to say?
The sculpt is gorgeous. The scale is right. The head really looks like it's in scale with the rest of the body, which seems to be a running theme problem with this wave so far.
Right.
The paint job is actually really good. There's nothing wrong with this figure. This is worth every single penny that you would pay for it as far as Marvel Legends
go. It really is. That's the point in the line that they should focus on.
Yeah, if they were all this good.
Exactly.
So
if they were all that well rendered, and if they were all characters that are as deserving, mm-hmm, as Hercules, this would be an amazing line.
Yep.
I mean, this would just be an amazing line.
Yep. So sadly, because he's so good and there's not much to say about him otherwise, I almost have to leave him and go on. I have to move on to the next figure alphabetically.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty to be said here.
Planet Hulk is the figure. Okay. For starters, by no means does this figure deserve to be in a line with Legends in the title.
Marvel Legends.
Okay. For starters.
Right.
That being said, I don't actually have a problem with the figure. I kind of like the figure. I don't know that I like the storyline from whence the figure came.
Right.
But as figures go, I really do enjoy it. I think that as far as a Hulk figure goes, he looks really good. I actually really enjoy the head sculpt. The look on his face is pretty interesting. His armor is really nice. The shield that he comes with is fantastic if you're kind of just a piece collector.
Right.
I mean, it's a really good looking shield, you know?
I found
no complaints on him.
I found him rather bland.
Well,
now, here's why.
Okay.
You have the Marvel Legends character, one of the tenets of which is that they are doing these really great Marvel Legends with lots of details and lots of articulation and so on and so forth.
Right.
Yet this character doesn't seem to carry a paint scheme that warrants this line. It seems to me to be just rather plain.
Well, you know, I think...
I mean, where they could have gone the extra mile and done some sort of wash to make things different colors, they kind of went with that whole, it's molded in this color and a black wash for basically right. The armor bits.
Here's the problem. I don't actually mind the paint scheme. And my problem with the colored wash is that I would say a majority of the times when they try to do this wash, they don't get it right. And I'm afraid that if they tried to do some sort of wash on that figure to bring out a highlight, it would have ended up worse than it is.
Well,
I agree with you that it's bland, but right. Again, It really is the Hulk. I mean, the Hulk doesn't have a lot going on for him. He's green or he's gray.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. That, of course, you set aside for a moment my argument that he is a bit bland with regards to his armor is a bit bland.
Right.
I think everything here is removable, though, although I could be mistaken. I think the helmet is removable. I think the shoulder pad is removable. I know that the shield is.
The helmet's the only part that I'm not sure about, but everything else would seem like removable.
Well, it comes off.
Oh, okay.
It definitely comes off. Well, it looks like it does. They're holding it on with a rubber band, so I'd say yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have to say one other thing about this piece, and that is scale again.
Yes, but the only answer to that, sadly, I think, is to A, make Hulk a Build-A-Figure.
No.
Or B, don't put him in the Legends lines.
Or put him as this Hulk in the Icons line.
Yeah, but I don't... I guess. I don't know. I mean, it would be an Icon. It wouldn't be a Legend.
Yeah, but it's Legends Icons.
I know.
So I think the point of this being... Well, we're going to discuss Icons in a little bit because...
We'll get there.
Interesting things to say. I just think, like I said, I think the sculpt is nice. I think the, like I said, I think it's a nice figure. I agree with you. I don't believe it's appropriate.
Right.
At all for this line. I don't think that that they went far enough with the detailing on the armor, particularly.
Okay.
And the shield.
Fair enough.
So that's where I'm gonna stay on that because we need to move. Forward. And of course, it should be said also that it smacks of desperation that you feel the need to put the Hulk in a line so much that you have to do one from the current storyline.
Right. Oh, and I just want to say he comes with Annihilus's head.
Oh, good. I think rounding out the line, I think I have the last one.
Yeah, shit does starts with S and that does come after P. So yes, you have the last figure. That is shit in a package.
Well, I'm not going to go as far as to say that it's shit in a package.
Okay.
What I am going to say is that it's Ultimate Iron Man.
And it's not as good as the Diamond Select one.
Whether it is as good or not as the Diamond Select one, again, where is the desperate need to place Iron Man in every line?
I don't know. Especially when you had two, if you include the chase, which is questionable, in the last line.
Where is the need?
Is that the last line or is that two lines ago?
I think it was two lines ago. Where is the need for another Iron Man?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I mean, the Hulk is in this line. Why have Iron Man in the line?
I don't know. Well, who are their other options? It would have been another Cap, another Wolverine.
Oh, wait. Well, hold on. Don't get too far ahead of yourself because we're going to be discussing waves.
I know.
Ultimate Iron Man comes with Annihilus's torso.
Right.
Kind of sick.
Kind of is.
He has a removable helmet, which reveals Tony Stark underneath, I presume.
Right.
And here's the deal. There are no variants in Wave 1.
Ooh.
But yet there is.
Okay, what is it?
They have taken Ultimate Iron Man.
Uh-huh.
And the one we have in the studio tonight is packaged with the helmet on.
Ah, so it's the a packaging variant.
The variant is packaged with the helmet off about 2 inches away in the package.
So it's a packaging variant.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's not really a package. It's a packaged variant or how it's packed variant. Seems right. Kind of useless to me that they did that. I guess, though, in lieu of another Iron Man, I'm happy because I don't get it. I don't get the Iron Man at all.
Again, I want to say, maybe by saying it was shit in a package, it was a little harsh.
It's a nice piece.
The figure is nice. You know where my problem with this figure lies? And maybe this is the problem. Maybe Hasbro should just make figures without heads. Because I don't like the head sculpt on him. Something about it's either the sculpt or the paint job. But something about it just isn't sitting well with me.
Well, I like the fact they vacuum metaled, which for those of you who don't know out there, is a process that they can put on a figure to make the metal look shiny.
Right.
This was first done, I think first done in the Silverhawk series.
Right.
Not really sure if that's true or not, but I think it's the earliest one I can remember. Let's say that. They've done that on parts of the armor, the orange and yellow parts of the armor here, and it looks nice, and it looks like a nice figure. I'm not saying it's a bad figure. I don't really have a feeling one way or the other for Ultimate Iron Man as a character. My problem is, again, this is not a legend. This is not a a character deserving of a legend action figure.
Ooh, he has no mouth.
What, the armor? Toss that over here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture of him up in the corner here, and I'm looking at this picture here. He's got no mouth.
Let me see.
Oh, geez. He can fly, and the nose
is kind of skewed.
That's kind of weird. Well, the helmet's been drawn a whole bunch of ways. Yeah. I think that bottom one is my favorite, though, and that doesn't seem to boast a mouth.
Well, anyway, you know what? It's not terrible. The head sculpt leaves a little to be desired, at least to me. Again, though, I don't understand why they chose this figure.
That's my number one sticking point for Hasbro to pay attention to as they move forward. And of course, they're already 3.5 waves ahead of us, so we're going to have to deal with it. Not that they're going to change it, because they're not, but the point is that if they were listening to anybody and they were considering doing some sort of changes, the number one change would be, how about characters who are legendary?
Right. Let's go to the seventh figure, though.
Annihilus?
Yeah.
Okay, my problem with Annihilus.
And I only have one problem with Annihilus, to be honest with you.
You do it.
His scale.
Really? Is he supposed to be like a big, huge dude?
I think so.
Because Onslaught was supposed to be a big, huge dude. And they reduced the size because of cost.
Right.
And that kind of upset a lot of people. I don't know that Annihilus. I mean, don't get me wrong. This character looks bigger than your average Marvel Legends character. But I don't really know with regards to
I thought
to
he
scale.
Was supposed to be bigger than that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, Starman, is he supposed to be bigger? Is he not? I think generally he's kind of human size, but a tad bigger.
Okay.
Like a superhuman size.
Okay.
Imagine that.
Right.
Superhuman size. That's your problem with it?
What's your problem with it?
My problem with it is the color pink.
Well, yeah, but that's his color scheme,
he's
isn't it?
He's not pink and green. He's purple and green.
Okay.
And on even the picture on the back of the package, he is purple and green. Purple and green, people. Yet you look at every piece in here, he is pink and green.
Yeah, he is pink.
I mean, the head is kind of collar around the head is a bit more purple than the rest of it. Those hands are fucking pink.
Yeah, I'm looking at the hand here that comes with the beast, and that is definitely pink. And it's weird because it almost looks like the paint didn't take.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Like the white is showing through from underneath, kind of. It's weird.
It's a quality control issue. And it failed.
Well,
let me see the torso. Where the torso? What I just tossed to you.
According to Marvel.com, Annihilus weighs in at 200 pounds and is 5'11".
Oh, okay. Oh, so he's not supposed to be huge. So okay. Shame on me.
Thank you. Fantastic.
Trying to reclaim the throne.
Yeah. And looking at the torso, which comes with Ultimate Iron Man, it's pink also. It's pink. And I tell you, what bothers me the most, again, is that on the back of this package, he's clearly purple.
Right.
Fantastic. In your research into the weight and height of Annihilus, what did you think? Did you think the pictures represented him as pink and green or purple and green?
Well, he definitely looks green, and then he looks kind of pinkish purple.
Great. Thank you for settling that argument for us. Fantastic. Thank you for getting off the fence and picking a goddamn color. Jesus Christ.
There's also yellow included in there.
In his eyes. I'm talking about the general color scheme.
All right.
Arms. His eyes are green and his hair is none.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
His eyes are yellow and he's got a yellow looking pill on his chest.
Before we leave the figures that we have on hand and move to what the future holds, I want to make one more comment about these.
Okay.
It would be a packaging comment.
Yeah, so as we know, Marvel Legends has gone over to Hasbro. This is Hasbro's first wave, and the first thing they did was change the packaging.
Okay, I want to start by saying that as far as packaging goes, I don't think that it's awful. I don't. I don't necessarily mind a blister pack on cardboard. A, because I think it makes it much easier to get into the figure, and you don't need a pair of tin snips or a sharp serrated knife to get access to the figure.
Yeah, like those old Toy Biz packaging did really make you work for it.
Yeah, I mean, you had to work to get inside, and the treasure was never really that great.
Well, some of them were.
Some of them were treasures.
Some of
them early on.
Some of them were pyrite or fool's gold.
Right. So that being said, I don't mind the packaging. I think it's kind of unique. I like the way they took it. But I noticed this with your packaging the other day.
Okay.
And I asked you about it. I said, Kev, you've got an entire set of Marvel Legends here, and all of the blisters are peeling off the card. What the hell happened? And you were like, Toy Mike gave them to me. The packages were busted. I was like, oh, that makes sense. You know, because you're going to open them anyway. You don't need them. I was in, during my Wii hunt for the past 3 days, I have been in 4 different Targets, 2 different Walmarts, and a Toys R Us.
Right.
Although I'm not sure if I saw them at Toys R Us, but definitely Target and Walmart. All of them are peeling off the card.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they probably had some sort of production problem, and that's making them do that. What can I say?
Well, if you're going to do this kind of packaging, you need to assure that that doesn't happen.
If you're going to take the number one action figure line and do it in your own vision here, then yes, you're going to want to make sure that, you know, little things like this aren't going wrong. That's
right.
True. I have to say this, and this is going to be my conclusion on the line. And my conclusion about Wave 1 Marvel Legends from Hasbro, or the Annihilus series, or whatever you want to call it. I think, to me, these look like knockoffs of Marvel Legends. They look like, I want to say, cheaper versions of Marvel Legends. Like, okay, here's Hasbro. We have this license. What corners can we cut and still maintain the collectability?
Well, you can use cheaper glue, first off, so a little blister comes right off the cardboard.
For starters. As far as the packaging goes, Matt, I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
One, because they no longer contain the comic book.
Okay.
Now, I understand that that's probably a cost-cutting measure, not that the price has gotten any cheaper, but that as a cost-cutting measure, I think, kind of hurts here a little bit. But you know what? Here's my big problem. If you're going to stick, if you're looking at the packaging on the left side of the packaging,
right,
they've stuck a gallery of 4 pictures with each character.
Right.
If you are going to put a gallery of 4 images, you had better at least make a figure that in some way represents those 4 images.
Right.
Because I can tell you from the White Queen, this figure looks like none of them. I mean, and one is Greg Horn, and actually the picture on the back of the card is also Greg Horn. This character doesn't even come close to that. Not to mention the fact you have her in, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, almost 5 different outfits if you're really stretching it. She has pink lips, she has red lips, she has blue lips. I mean, to me it seems, maybe it's a tiny point, and maybe everyone will jump on my head and say, really, that's all you got? But when you think about it, you're selling the figure here, and if you're going to sell it using images of the character, the images should at least in some way, or rather the figure in some way should at least represent those images. And at least in the case of the White Queen, it doesn't. In the case of Ultimate Iron Man, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different helmets pictured here. Different helmets. Okay, and granted, the figure does sort of match one of them, sort of, but there's 5 different helmets there.
Right.
On Planet Hulk, they're all pictures from the series that's going on right now, and the pictures that they are showing on here with the Hulk have him in, again, 2, 3 different costumes from what's shown here. Than the figure has.
Right.
There's one when he has kind of that gladiator skirt looking thing on. There's another one where he has the shoulder pad, and it looks like some sort of metallic arm covering on one arm. There's another one where he's pictured without any of that equipment on, with the pants. You know, so it's kind of like they took a piece from this picture and a piece from this picture and a piece from this picture. You know what? I'd rather see them put in an issue of Planet Hulk in the back and just present the figure. That's just me. And I'm not going to go through all of them and say this match and this. I don't like it. To me, it seems like they seem like cheap versions of Marvel Legends.
Do you think there could be a...
Which is almost like me complimenting Jesse Falcon.
Do you think it could be a copyright issue?
You hear that? People listening who know Jesse Falcon, say that I almost complimented him.
Do you think it could be a copyright issue?
No.
Toy Biz, as a subsidiary of Marvel, had the right to reprint Marvel issues. Hasbro, not as a subsidiary of Marvel,
that may
no
be.
Longer has that right.
Well, that may be.
Hey, guys.
That's a good point, Matt.
Dear Kevin.
That's really a good point.
You know what this looks like to me? And I completely back you up here. Being an amateur collector and collecting really only what really appeals to me.
Right.
And I did notice this, that the artwork on the right side of the package, if you're facing it, is all over the place. It looks like they went to images.google.com and typed in a name of the figure and then got like the four best hits and then just threw them on the box. And
right.
They don't
almost
blend. They don't go at all.
It's almost like they were doing a podcast and they needed image. Well, all right, maybe not like that.
It's a secret.
So
let's get on to this.
Let's
the
go
future.
To the future. But one more comment about the present. I also did see, although I do not have and will never possess, the Marvel Legends Icons, which are the 12-inch super articulated versions of these figures
right.
that we have here. The first wave came out from Hasbro. It is Thor and Wolverine. Like, all right, I understand that they want to start putting these out. They're putting them out two at a time. They come with variants. I don't know if there's variants here or not, but I have to say that I thought the Thor was a little subpar, but the Wolverine is what really grabs your attention. Because what they've done, in essence, Matt, I know you haven't seen this yet.
I haven't.
They took the blue and yellow costume that came out in the first Icon. Remember the first
right.
Icon Wolverine that came out? It was the blue and yellow Astonishing X-Men costume. They took that and they painted it brown and orange. No, that's Wolverine in his brown and orange costume. No, it isn't. That's his Astonishing costume in blue and brown. They cheaped their way into their first series. Like, why would you do that?
I don't know.
I was at a show this weekend. Attention Hasbro. I was at a show this weekend. Nobody was buying them. Everyone was laughing at them. Laughing at the Wolverine in particular. I don't get it. Meanwhile, here they have a beautiful opportunity to take Planet Hulk and do him in the proper scale.
Right.
And yet we're stuck with this mini Hulk, which I'm going to have to go and get my B horror movie victims from accoutrements and set them up around him so that I feel like he's in scale.
All right.
I just don't get it. Let's move on to the future of Marvel Legends 6-7-inch
yes.
series here. Series 2 is on the way.
Right. This is the Blob series.
Build a Blob.
Right.
And that will include Yellow Jacket with a Yellow Jacket variant.
Of course.
But we don't know what the variant is.
Right.
Quicksilver.
Right.
With a Quicksilver variant.
Ooh, two for two.
Which there I'm guessing is a costume variant.
Probably.
Because he's had at least two different costumes that I can think of. Movie Jean Grey. So that would be X3 Jean Grey.
Okay.
And the variant, which is Dark Phoenix.
Why didn't you Dark Phoenix in the entire film?
I think they're going to do her. I don't think there are any pictures yet.
They're going to do like a veiny one or
yeah,
like that
exactly.
veiny.
With
the
eyes are all
eyes.
White or
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
it was. Yeah, I think that's what we're looking at there. X3 Juggernaut.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
That would be that one, right. And the Juggernaut had better be as big as this fucking Hulk.
If not bigger.
Lord Thor.
I'm staying silent.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't want to comment.
This is the armored, bearded Thor, and I just don't get, they just released Thor in the previous, in what was it, MODOK? The MODOK wave, there was a Thor?
Yeah, but that
or
was...
Or Beta Ray Bill?
But that was the Toy Biz. This is the...
And there was already two other Thors before that.
Right. At least.
And they were the same. I mean, at least the same incarnation. She-Hulk.
Oh, well, that's funny. We were just talking about that earlier tonight.
Yeah. Hysterical. Ultimate Wolverine. Well, at least we've covered the bases. You can't have a Marvel Legends line, apparently, without having Hulk, Iron Man, Wolverine, or up-and-coming character Thor.
Wow.
Ultimate Wolverine.
Is this the first time they've done Ultimate Wolverine in this line?
Ultimate Wolverine?
Yeah.
I think so.
There was a Diamond Select, I think, right? And there was an Origins.
Of Ultimate Wolverine?
I thought so.
I don't know if there was a Diamond Select of Ultimate Wolverine.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
Fantastic.
I know there was Origins. But anyway, what else?
Wait, Fantastic, can you look up and see if they've previously done an Ultimate Wolverine? No. Yes, you can. And while Fantastic's doing that, we'll round out the line with Zorn.
Ooh, that's right. I kind of like that figure.
Yeah, not me.
I know.
Because he's dead.
Yeah,
or whatever.
And?
And is he Magneto or is he not Magneto?
Yeah, he was, but it's a, you know, he was, but he wasn't. It was a different character.
Exactly. And you know why we can't remember? Because it was 1,000 years ago. And why is he getting a Marvel Legends character?
Well, at least it wasn't last week. Like,
who in
Planet
that,
Hulk?
Can I just say that we're having this discussion? Who in this line is a Marvel Legend? Yellow Jacket, yes. Quicksilver, yes. Movie Jean Grey?
No.
Movie Juggernaut?
No.
No. Lord Thor?
No.
Not, I don't know about Lord Thor.
Not Lord Thor. Not that incarnation.
She-Hulk? Been around a while.
She's been around a long time.
Ultimate Wolverine?
No.
No. Zorn? No. So again, more no than yes on who's a legend, who isn't. Third series.
Uh-huh.
Now this is...
I think you might be wrong with your count there, but I could be wrong. Banshee?
No.
Banshee,
She-Hulk.
I'm talking
about just this line.
Yeah, Banshee, She-Hulk, and Quicksilver were yes.
Not Banshee. Yellow Jacket.
Yellow Jacket, She-Hulk, and Quicksilver.
Quicksilver.
And She-Hulk were yes.
Yeah.
Zorn?
No.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot about Juggernaut. Sorry.
Yeah.
Off by one.
Uh-huh. It's your math skills coming into play. Third series, and this is rumored at this point, but
okay.
It seems a pretty solid rumor that the characters are going to be Bucky.
Oh, okay.
Who is Cap's sidekick from World War II.
Bravo on that one.
World War II Cap.
Okay, bravo on that one too.
Which is exciting. Marvel Girl, who is Rachel Summers.
Right. No, that's good though.
And there's going to be a variant.
Okay.
So I don't know what if that's going to mean she's going to come in her current costume and perhaps her future costume.
Maybe.
The Phoenix costume.
The Phoenix
from the
costume.
Future. That would be nice if that was
sure.
the case because I like both of those costumes. Again, I'm a little concerned about the female figures looking at Emma Frost here, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Black Knight, absolutely a legend.
Yes, absolutely.
Astonishing X-Men Cyclops.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know. Why not?
Danger,
okay.
Who is the physical embodiment of the Danger Room.
Right.
Who is a character that took place in one storyline, was defeated and destroyed. Why are they doing a figure?
God only knows.
Hydra Soldier with a variant.
Okay, but we like that. Especially, I wonder though if the variant's going to end up being like...
An AIM soldier?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. You know what? At the very least, it's two different Hydra soldiers. So that, I mean, from an army building perspective,
sure,
is a
nice.
Pretty good start. And then X3 Colossus.
Okay, well, they're rounding out that X3 line. Like
so that's
we've said.
Right.
So that'll be
so
five
kind of
figures
rumor.
From X3 now.
Other figures rumored to be perhaps coming in wave 4.
Uh-huh.
Include, oh, there's also a Build-A-Figure for this Wave 3, but no one knows what it is yet.
Okay.
They're definitely talking about X3 Angel.
Okay.
And a bunch of other characters that I can't remember at the moment.
Okay.
So, I mean,
so they're
X3
really
Angel
rounding
seems,
out that X3 line.
They're trying to.
Okay.
Why haven't they done Kitty Pryde yet?
Maybe, I don't know.
Because she has no action to do or...
She has no action to do?
She has no action feature. Well, none of them do, really.
None of them really do. So that's the future of Marvel.
That's
Hopefully we'll see more.
The current or in the future of Marvel Legends.
At Toy Fair.
Well.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
If we don't get in there, somebody will, and we'll find out.
I'm sure that Marvel Legends isn't going away anytime soon.
No.
And it doesn't look, at least from our perspective, that it's going to get any better.
Right.
Although, I guess it could be said that it isn't going to get any worse.
Sure.
I mean, at least that's the way it looks at the moment.
Sure.
And some great things to look forward to. World War II Cap and Bucky sounds really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there are legendary characters, and they're finally doing some of them. Black Knight is a legendary character. Hydra soldiers are legendary characters.
Yeah, it looks good. The future may look good, maybe at least as far as variety is concerned.
Right.
Sculpting, we'll have to see.
Yeah, and
we take what we get.
Well, we have to see what they learn from Wave 1.
Right. I'm guessing nothing.
And I guess with that, we'll take a break right now, and we'll be back with the wrap-up.
Yup.
I think that's about enough show for one day.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London. And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Matt, they're going to do it again. New York Comic Con is returning this February.
That's right. February 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Jacob Javits Convention Center, right in the heart of Manhattan.
Did you see the guest list on this thing? Stan the Man Lee.
Excelsior.
Ugh. J. Michael Straczynski and the one and only Kevin Smith.
Ooh.
And the three and only us.
All right.
The Big Kev's Geek Stuff staff, myself, Matt, and Mr. Fantastic will
be in attendance. At his first con appearance
ever. That's true, his first con appearance ever.
In addition, this year, the New York Comic Con is hosting the 2007 Anime Awards.
In addition to that, Matt, there'll be tons of gaming, comics, toys, displays, special functions, exclusives. I'm sure they're going to have the entire gamut of the convention scene at this amazing convention.
You can go to www.nyccomiccon.com for more information. That's NewYorkComicCon.com.
I think that Annihilus is probably the best piece in that line in retrospect.
Now that you've opened him up and assembled him.
Yeah, he's really, I mean, except for the color problems.
Right.
And if I get one complaint, I actually have already heard the complaint that Hercules is too, looks like he used a fake tanner.
Tan in a can.
So, I mean, come on, he's a god, for God's sake.
Yeah,
of
really.
Course he's going to be a little bronzy.
Exactly.
But anyway, we're back.
Yeah.
Episode 43, Meatballs.
Right.
And so let's get right into the wrap-up.
All right. We started today talking about the Get Smart film. Briefly mentioned that Steve Carell is going to be playing the lead. Anne Hathaway also going to star in the film.
As Agent 99.
And Dwayne The Rock Johnson
mm-hmm.
will be...
Agent 32,
Agent
I think.
Whatever he is. So we can look forward to that over the course of the next year.
I said that Marvel's big crossover book, Civil War number 7, which is the one that everybody has been looking forward to, the one where it all comes to a head, the one where one team fights the other team, has been again delayed until February the 21st. This, of course, will offset many, many other books which are supposed to follow it. So Marvel, once again, is screwing up the schedule, and this time they're saying... There was too much content. They need to give more time to Steve McNiven and excuse.
What's not being delayed is talks about a Spider-Man 4 film. Looks like David Capcom Kep is going to be penciling the film. Some of his previous credits include War of the Worlds,
actually,
Jurassic
he
Park,
would,
Panic Room.
He would be penning the film.
What did I say?
Penciling.
Ah, whatever. Tracer. So we have potentially a Spider-Man 4 to look forward to. We also have another sequel that we can look forward to, 2009. Kevin Spacey has come out and said he will be reprising his role as Lex Luthor in a follow-up to Superman Returns.
Ugh, what an awful idea. And apparently, speaking of awful ideas, the Halloween remake by Rob Zombie, according to the rumor mill, is now being rewritten, having leaked some of the information about his first draft out to the internet. The flap coming back to him from the fans is so tremendous. Rob is currently reworking the script and hopefully will make it better than the leaks apparently made it out to be.
So kudos to the fans there. Diamond Select has picked up a license to do Mouse Guard collectibles, which we will hear and see more about at Toy Fair. And in addition to that, Kevin reported that Volume 6...
Issue six of Mouse Guard's first story arc came out today. It wraps the first story arc, and they have announced plans for a trade, which will be coming soon from
Arcana Studios.
Is that what it is? Arcana, yes. Studios Press?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very exciting news about that, and that there'll be more of it as well.
And in addition to that, also coming out soon, May of 2007... Firefly, Visual Companion, Numero Dos.
And, of course, we have to make sure that we give every bit of Firefly news because it's...
News from the verse.
That's right. It's important to keep the Firefly phenomenon going. We're doing our part.
We are.
In more ways than you think.
If only they knew.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Intriguing.
Also, announced today, solicited today through Diamond Previews, is... yet another expansion for WizKids Pirates Constructible Strategy Game. This time they're giving us At Ocean's Edge.
Right.
And it will feature booster packs, value packs, tins, and mega packs with giant monsters, giant ships. All part of their whole pirate universe there. This game is great. We've been following it. We'll continue to follow it. I don't understand why on earth they're stacking up their releases. This will come out presumably in April or thereabouts. The expansion that's out now is Pirates of the Mysterious Islands, mm-hmm. which came close on the neck of Davy Jones' Curse. And immediately following, actually at the end of February, or presumably sometime in February, Pirates of the Frozen North will be hitting. Right. We don't understand why they're stacking them this way. We think it's a great game, but we think they might be approaching overkill.
Yes. In our second segment today, we talked about two Star Wars 7 packs that are coming out. The first one would be the Death Star Briefing. Features a bevy of characters, including, obviously, Darth Vader, Grand Moff Tarkin, Admiral Mahdi, and a few other ones peppered in there that we haven't seen before.
Right, and that actually recreates the big meeting they were having in Star Wars, mm-hmm. about the Death Star, and where the guy tells Vader he doesn't believe in his hokey religion and all that stuff.
Right.
And then he chokes him.
Right, Mahdi.
That very famous scene. The second pack would be the...
Republic Commando Delta Squad.
Thank you, fantastic. The Republic Commando Delta Squad, based on the popular video game Republic Commando.
Right.
You get four different Republic Commandos, all of whom have personalities and color schemes and weapons that are appropriate to them, including Scorch, who has been released as a single mm-hmm. character, as well as a Genosian leader and two Genosian warriors.
Right.
Both packs are really nice. They feature figures that are not going to appear anywhere else. So, army builders, Star Wars collectors, you're going to want to pick those up.
And coming from our MVP of the episode, Starman, we found out about the Order 66 Target 2-pack exclusives. There's going to be three of them, each with a unique new clone trooper and a Jedi. We have Mace Windu and the Galactic Marine. Obi-Wan Kenobi and the AT-RT driver, and the airborne trooper from the 501st with an Anakin.
Yeah, those are going to be interesting to see if they're actually different sculpts or if they're just doing some sort of creative two packaging.
There. Well, they're saying that the Galactic Marine is a new sculpt, the AT-RT driver is a repaint, and the airborne trooper also a new sculpt.
Well, so, I am not going to believe it until I see it.
Okay.
Actually, the first 501st wasn't that good, so if they resculpted it, it's probably not such a bad idea.
We also talked about two sideshow pieces from their newly launched Angel line. It would be Lorne, the host, and Cordelia Chase, both very popular figures from the Buffyverse, and great quality, awesome. Nothing less than what we would expect from Sideshow, and we are making a plea to Sideshow to potentially look into, consider, research some Firefly product, preferably in the 12-inch and premium format scales.
Yeah, it's definitely time now for a company like Sideshow, and not like Sideshow, but actually Sideshow. To come to the forefront here and take the lead on this Firefly merchandise. We love the stuff that's come so far from Dark Horse and Diamond Select, but it looks to me like it's too little and not enough happening quick enough. We want one of our favorite companies, Sideshow, to step up, take the reins here, and get the job done.
Yep. We then started to talk about the first wave of the Hasbro Legends line. Includes seven figures. If you include the Build-A-Figure, they would be the X3 Beast, Hercules, Planet Hulk, Emma Frost as the White Queen, Banshee, and Ultimate Iron Man. Overall, we had a couple of problems with a few of the figures, but I think overall, most of them are at least pretty good. Hercules is really good. The X3 Beast, I think, is really good. Annihilus is amazing if you take away the paint scheme once you put them together.
Oh, yeah. He really is much better assembled. And the color thing is still going to bother me, but overall, he really is a fantastic. The more actually that I mess with him over here, the more I actually appreciate him as a figure. So, I'm very happy with the Annihilus.
Yeah, the redheaded stepchild of the line would be the Emma Frost. Way too skinny, not nearly busty enough, just bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, just not really good at all. If you're looking for a great White Queen Emma Frost figure, we're going to recommend the Diamond Select piece. And if you can still find it, I'm sure you can find it on eBay. Mm-hmm. There's actually two versions of her. There's a clear version, and there's a regular version. I think the standard version is a good enough representation.
Sure.
And that's really it. We also touched on some of the future Marvel Legends, including Wave 2, which will include Yellowjacket, Quicksilver, and the movie Jean Grey, all with variants, as well as the movie Juggernaut, Lord Thor, She-Hulk, Ultimate Wolverine, and Zorn. And the rumored Series 3, Bucky, World War II Cap, Marvel Girl with a variant, Black Knight, Astonishing X-Men Cyclops, Danger, Hydra Soldier with a variant, and the Marvel X3 Colossus. So hopefully we'll get one or two good ones out of those waves.
Hopefully. Remember, you can check us out at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or MySpace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff.
Backslash?
Yeah. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, write us a review. Let us know and everybody else know what you think. We'd also like to welcome a new sponsor to the show tonight in his likeness. Great little strip. You should check it out. And I think that's going to wrap up episode 43 of Geek Stuff, Meatballs.
I want to say one more thing before we wrap up. If you guys have had the chance to check out our XM show, episode 40, mm-hmm. whether you heard it live or whether you heard it on our website, downloaded it from our website, hey, if you liked it and you'd like to hear us a little bit more on XM, why don't you drop a line to XM and let them know that you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff on XM Satellite Radio.
And on that note, we cue the music.
I just want to say thank you. You've all been a really terrific bunch of CITs, and we've all had a terrific summer. Except for a few minor incidents that I don't want to go into right now. But through it all, we share things and we become closer, and that even makes it harder to say goodbye. But I hope you've learned a lot of things. I know I have, and I just want to say, hope to see y'all again next summer.
The kids are brats, the food is hideous. We're gonna smoke and drink and fool around.
We're Nucky Bow.
The kids are rats, the food is hideous. We're gonna smoke and drink and fool around. Nookie Bow, we're North Star CIT.